We will be looking to understand the seventh commandment again a little more as we think about what is required, what is forbidden from the Shorter Catechism on that, and in all of that in preparation to come to the table. But I'd like to look at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you'd find that, or turn to your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Your family, this is a living and almighty word of God. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Father, this is your living word. We want to apply it. Thank you that we can, in the strength of the Spirit. Help us to learn. May we be teachable disciples now and come to your table with a right heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So the seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. And part of keeping this commandment and the sanctity of marriage is, as we just saw, that we must preserve our own and our neighbor's chastity. And it said, in heart, in speech, and behavior. And in the negative, it said, we're forbidden unchaste thoughts and unchaste words and actions. Now, chastity means pure or virtuous. Not really a common word anymore. In fact, if you asked someone without context, I guess, what does chaste mean, they'd say, it's when someone's running after you, you know? Seriously. People don't know the word chaste. C-H-A-S-T-E is what I'm talking about. And nor, you know, it's just not a common virtue. It's not a common word. It's also not a common virtue in our culture. Our culture is really more associated with promiscuity than being virtuous. Many believe that, even in the church, in some who go to a church, believe that being chaste is not possible. So how do we preserve, then, our chastity and others' chastity in heart and speech and behavior, in thought, word, and actions? How do we do that? Just a few thoughts as we come to the table. First of all, your heart. So our thoughts must be centered on the Lord Jesus. Our heart must be set on him and guarded by his word. Psalm 119:9, in fact, tells us, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can he? It's by guarding it according to the word. 1 Peter 3 said, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Jesus himself said, I am gentle and lowly, and we should be like him. We want to be like him. We want to grow in becoming like him. And then it said, which is very precious in the sight of God. It doesn't say that phrase very often in Scripture. So this kind of heart is very precious to the Lord Jesus. A heart with the beauty of gentleness and humility, the beauty of holiness, is very precious in God's sight, in his kingdom. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above. Colossians 3:1. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then your heart will be more inclined to also be looking at the Lord. Romans 12:2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Praise God that that is possible. And we want to pray and we want to discipline ourselves to more and more have the Lord and his word on our mind and in our thoughts continually. Well, secondly, we're to be chaste in our words, it says, which encourage people in holiness, those around us in holy living. We're to speak words which point toward the Lord and to his character. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Indeed, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We can get in a lot of trouble by opening our mouths and our tongue without looking to his word. Ephesians 5 was Deacon Joel prayed two or three times. This was from Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. It shouldn't even be said. And then it goes on and clarifies that. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Not fitting for a saint. But then it says, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks that you have saved from this. Well, then finally, behavior and actions. So how are we to act? How are we to dress, in fact? Modesty in dress and actions so as not to defraud those around us, not to defraud our brothers and sisters in the Lord. 1 Peter 3 said again, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. So those are outward things, obvious things. But rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Incorruptible, which is very precious in the sight of God. So the warning is not just for women, by the way. I heard recently that the number of men using cosmetics and the amount of money they're spending on cosmetics has gone up a lot. Our focus, brothers and sisters, should be on the development and the encouragement of godly, Christ-like character in ourselves and in others. We can help each other in this. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10 is similar to what we read in 1 Peter. The Apostle Paul said, and this is an admonishment, and he said that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So they're to put on good works. That is beautiful. It's the same principle, men, for us. Men who are professing godliness. We're to bring attention to the Lord Jesus, not ourselves, by excessive concern for the way we look, for example. Men or women professing godliness should be growing in bringing attention to the Lord they love by their good works, by their behavior, by their gentle and quiet spirit. And we are to adorn ourselves in such a way as to glorify the Lord. Chastity then has to do with growing in holiness, really. And participating in this communion is a blessing, is a part of that. We are growing in holiness as we come by faith and because of his great grace to us. And we come in the power of the Holy Spirit, or we should come power in the power of the Holy Spirit in us by holy actions that we take in obedience to the word because we love him. We love him. And the Lord uses this weekly Sabbath and this worship service and this weekly communion, this means of grace. He uses it, praise God, in our lives to sanctify us and to give us more of a heart to be holy. And we're not to be as the world around us, which cares little about chastity, doesn't even understand it, which cares little about virtuous living. But we're to be eager, we're to be zealous, to be more like our Lord Jesus in holiness and in our thoughts, in words and actions. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask this morning that our heart's desire for each of us here would be to grow in holiness and Christ-likeness, and that we would be able to encourage each other in this pursuit. And Lord, we are called to holiness, we know. And we thank you that this communion celebration reminds us each week that the Holy Son of God died for us to justify us, and the Holy Spirit is faithfully working in us to make us holy. Lord, we come before you now with joy and thanks and praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Redeemer, amen.